Well, good morning, and peace be with you this morning. Hope that you have had a great week. We had a great week this last week. We had our cousin, Leah's cousin Mindy from Oklahoma with us. She was on her spring break from Oklahoma Christian. She's a senior there and decided to come to the beautiful, warm Northwest. And I say warm because some of her friends went to the coast down in Florida and the East Coast, and it was colder there than it was here. And she said, I never thought 60 degrees felt so good. In Oklahoma, 60 degrees is cold, but not for us. Not when the sun is shining and the wind is not blowing. But she actually said she actually experienced rougher, more stronger winds here than in Oklahoma. She didn't think that was ever possible. Because the wind always comes crashing through the plains in Oklahoma, and we went out the Bandon on Wednesday. Actually, it was kind of a cloudy, wet day, good day to be in and out of shops, but had to take her down to the Face Rock to see that, and of course, it was blowing. Of course, she had to get out there. Finley had to get out there with them, and they did the whole lean into the walk, you know, and running back with extra speed with the wind on the back. But she actually said, I actually experienced stronger winds than in Oklahoma, so... pat on the back for Oklahoma. Everyone give yourself a pat on the back for Oklahoma this week. Made an impression on that other O state. Don't know much about the Ohio state, but Oklahoma and Oregon she's accomplished. But we had a great time. We had a great time hosting her and you know, letting her sleep in the mornings and then getting her out. When the weather broke, we went. And one of the days got to take her up to Gold and Silver Falls. And I had never been up there during this time of year. Usually it's kind of a summer activity because of the rain and the, you know, the muddy roads and the muddy trails. And I didn't know that the road had been out. The road opened up just in time for me and her to make that trip out there on Tuesday to make it up there. And, you know, I could see where the road had been out and it was fixed. And the road was a little bit wet, but, man, that was a hike of peace. That was a hike of peace. You know, her driving, getting into Portland on the last Saturday, her word of the whole weekend was, wow. Her whole word was, wow. And I felt bad even teasing her by the end, said, your word of the week has been, wow. Everything she saw for every tree that, I mean, all the moss that was out, every piece of water that she saw, I mean, just nonstop, wow, wow. Wow, wow. And isn't that amazing? I mean, have you stopped saying wow living here all these years? If you have, say wow, look around. It is amazing where we get to live. And it's amazing that God has called us to come back and live in this beautiful place. And I usually keep things on the inside, but she was just wow, wow. And we got to go to there's two falls out there. You know, the Silver Falls is kind of the lower one. And I had never seen it so full. Usually it's kind of a trickle down off the rock, and it was raging. And the upper one was even more full and more amazing. And it was kind of awesome on the bottom of that Silver Falls is. It was pretty calm in that because there's lots of those mountains and the hills in there, so the wind was not rushing in there. And it was pretty still, but you get to this certain point. It's almost like you walk through this imaginary door, and then the wind off of that waterfall just blowing, and then off. And I was on the doorway, off, on, off, on. Well, it was just amazing, and she just was wow, wow. And I was going wow too. I'd not been up there in 9 years, especially not during the spring. And we got to the very top, to the top of the Golden Fall, Gold Fall. I would say golden, but it's gold and silver. But I'll say golden. And I got to the very top of there, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And I'm thinking about, there's a little bit more elevation above where that waterfall is. But I'm thinking, where in the world does all this water come from? Does it ever stop? Does it ever run out? What's feeding that? That it's just continually rushing with great force, that it was full and it was flowing, and it's never stopping. And thinking of all the rivers and all the waterfalls and all the sources of this water that just never stops to rush. And after you get the wows out of the way, which takes a while, you get this sense of peace. Of just being surrounded by this beauty, seeing this rushing force of water that just never stops to flow. And you know, it made me think about the song, I've Got Peace Like a River. You know, I never really understood that phrase until this last week. I've got peace like a river in my soul. And it's a river because peace is a river. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just a one-time event. It's always flowing. It's always rushing. It's always available. I've got peace like a river that's a life spring. And where does it come from? It comes from the Lord. It comes from deep within us. And it's a life spring of rushing, raging, powerful water that overcomes every obstacle and every burden and every fear and every challenge to bring peace. And what great power and what great price was paid and what great presence is available in that peace. Well, when I say the word peace, you know, what do you think of? And maybe one of the things you might think of peace and war. You know, peace is the opposite of war. And what is required to bring peace out of conflict? You may think, if I ask you, what are some areas, and I want you to think about, what are areas in your life that you could use a little dose of peace? That you need to be reminded of that wellspring of living water that's within you to bring peace into. And you may be thinking of, there's some conflicts, there's some confusion in your life right now. You may be thinking about situations with maybe family members or work partners or friends that you're in conflict. I wish the Lord would bring peace to my home, peace to my workplace, peace to the people I live around. You may be thinking about God bringing peace into your health. You know, our physical bodies can bring a lot of frustration and stress, and living with pain is anything but peaceful. It's this internal turmoil that's within us. For the Lord, if you could just bring my body, my health, and give it some rest and give it peace, remove all the pains and the struggles of that. You may think about the peace as a result of the damage that has been done because it may be natural forces. Maybe some of your where you live or properties have been damaged by storms and just Lord, I wish this could be set right, because that's what peace is. Peace brings resolution to a problem. It takes something that was once out of sorts, once that was not set right, and setting it right, to restoring it, to by bringing perhaps forgiveness, by bringing healing, by bringing a new position that is calm and still and secure and safe and allows you to say, ah, and allows you to go, look at how good God is. Well, there is great power, like I said, in peace. Great power. It takes. Think about what power is required to overcome physical problems. I mean, what power is involved to fix a human body of anything? I mean, from minor illnesses to major illnesses. And to see the power of God to work powerfully in the human body to bring about healing. The Lord has the power to heal. And when healing comes, it brings great peace. I think about the story of the woman who was suffered from a bleeding for 12 years. I mean, imagine the discomfort and the lack of peace that was in her life, where she was constantly hemorrhaging and never was comfortable, never was at rest, never felt comfortable going out, never felt comfortable in her own skin, never felt comfortable in her own house because of this discomfort that she had physically going on and how it bled into her whole life. And yet she's heard about Jesus coming to town. Jesus was actually on his way to go heal another person. But this girl finds out that Jesus is there, is present, and the crowds are rushing around Jesus. And this is not a peaceful situation. I mean, the crowd is not peaceful, for one. So it's a lot of disturbance. It's not peaceful because of excitement, for one. And yet there's also her coming up. She's not at peace. She's not at rest because of her physical problem. And she knows about Jesus, and she thinks in her mind, this is awesome, she thinks in her mind, if I could just touch him, he would heal me. That amount of faith to think, if I could just touch him,
He wouldn't have to even know I was there. And so she runs up to this crowd and she reaches her hand and touches him. Now there's people crowding around. There's all kinds of people bumping into him, asking him, talking to him, hearing from them in this busy area. And he's being touched all over the place. And she touches him by faith. And he says, "Who touched me?" And all of his people around him, they start saying, "Lord, Master, all kinds of people are touching you. What do you mean, who is touching you?" He says, "No, someone has touched me because I know the power has gone out of me." And the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, realizing it was her, came trembling and fell at his feet. And she told why she had touched him. You see, at the moment that she had touched him, her bleeding stopped immediately. She had felt peace that she had never felt at any time those past 12 years. At that moment when she touched him, she was at peace. And so she could not go unnoticed. And she told him, "I'm the one who touched you. And when I touched you, I was at peace." And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." So Jesus has the power, and the peace comes with power. And that power is the power to heal. This power also is the power that controls nature. It's power that brings peace to creation. When creation is out of sorts and natural disasters are happening, the Lord has the power to bring peace to His creation. We see this played out very well in the story of the disciples and Jesus going on a boat across the sea. And as they're going across the sea, Jesus takes a good time to take a nap. And He takes a rest and He falls asleep. But while He's sleeping, the storms begin to build. And a squall comes up on the sea and the waves begin to crashing and the storms begin to rising. And there is anything but peace in creation. There's anything but peace amongst those who are in the boat. But yet Jesus is sleeping. He's at rest. And they're disturbed and they're frustrated and they're confused and they're fearful of their life. And they wake Jesus up. And Jesus says, "Peace, be still." And everything went as smooth as glass. And His disciples say, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." What power it requires to bring that kind of control over nature. Who could do that? Who could stop the wind from blowing? Who could stop the waterfalls from falling? Who could stop the tornadoes and the twisters and the snow and change the temperature and stop the earth from quaking? Who could do that? What power? There's power in peace. He has power to heal, power over nature, and power over enemies. He has power over enemies, both physical and spiritual. I live in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah is recounting about the power of the Lord, that He brought victory over their physical enemies. It says in Isaiah 26, 12 through 15, it says, Isaiah is singing a prayer of praise, but look at that, he's acknowledging this power in the Lord of what He was able to accomplish. It says, "Lord, You establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished for You have, all that we have accomplished, You have done for us. O Lord, our God, other lords beside You have ruled over us." See, they were oppressed. But it says, "But Your name alone do we honor. They are now dead. They live no more. Those departed spirits do not rise. You punished them and brought them to ruin. You wiped out the memory of them. And You have enlarged the nation, O Lord. You have enlarged the nation. You have gained glory for Yourself. You have extended all the borders of the land." I mean, we know the great power that's required to bring peace out of war. The great amount of effort and energy and work that is required. But the Lord was able to have power over physical enemies. And not just the physical enemies, but also the spiritual enemies in this world. I mean, what is more challenging, to overcome physical or spiritual? What is more powerful, to say, "Stand up and walk," or "Your sins are forgiven"? Both require peace. Both require power to bring that type of peace and restoration and forgiveness, to set those things right. There's great power in that. See, the Lord, as He was going into Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19, He's on His way to make this triumphal entry back into Jerusalem to accomplish His purpose of forgiving the sins of the world by dying on the cross, by being the sacrifice, by being Lord and Christ. As His way into there, here we see a cross of both His power over physical and spiritual. And in Luke 19, verse 41, and Jesus knows the power required. He knows what's going to happen. Look at His intensity. Look at His emotion as He begins to say this. He says in Luke 19, verse 41, as He approached Jerusalem, He saw the city and He wept over it. He sees the city of Jerusalem where it had become corrupt. They'd gotten it all wrong. They lost their attention on God. Knowing what He was called to do to set right, the great power and love and obedience that was required, the great passion that was going to be required, He cries over that, over this things that were not right that needed to be set right. And He says, if you, Jerusalem, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build up an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. He's talking about the eventual fall of Jerusalem. They will dash you on the ground, you and their children within their walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. He was the embodiment of all peace. And if Jerusalem would only know that it was Him that was going to restore them, they would not have to face being overcome by physical powers. But yet Jesus was stepping in with the power of God to overcome all those physical and those spiritual enemies. In John 16:33, but before His departure, He says to His disciples, I have told you these things. I've told you what's going to come. I've told you because so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. He says, yes, in John 16:13, He's talking about His departure and the coming of the Holy Spirit, but to take heart that you may have peace, because in this world, you are still going to have trouble. We still have trouble in this world, even though the Lord has conquered the physical, has conquered the spiritual. We still have trouble. We still have trouble, and He knows we have that, and we can endure that with the power of the Spirit living within us. That should give us peace in the midst of those troubles. We face troubles, and you will face troubles. But take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. So there's great power in peace. Well, that power has come to us at a great price. That peace has come to us by someone paying a great price. And who is it that paid that price? I like in Isaiah 9:6 how the coming of the Lord is described. It says, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The price was paid by a mighty Prince of Peace. I don't know about you when you think about what your image of a prince is, but I think about a king and a kingdom and a castle and a land and fighters, a land that has been conquered, a land that has been established with a king sitting on the throne. And who is the prince? The prince is the mighty son who sits by the king. And what do they wear? They wear armor. And they have sword. And they have shield. And they're ready to defend the kingdom. Ready to fight for the kingdom. Ready to ward off any enemies. They fought for this land. They're going to keep this land. But yet, any time a king is on top of the castle or top of the hill, what do others want to do? They want to overtake him. They want to bring down that king so they could be king of the hill. Right? You ever play king of the hill as a kid on a snow hill or a sand hill or just any rise of land, a box? Who's king of the hill? Well, I am. Get off there. Well, I imagine when I think about a prince of peace, I think about a kingdom, and I think about a king, I think about the prince ready to fight. And what did this prince do? What is this prince willing to do for the kingdom? Fight and die. And give his life against any enemy. See, the ultimate price is paid by the Prince. The ultimate price was paid by the Prince. He fought a physical battle and he fought the spiritual battle. And in Isaiah 53, 4 through 5, it says, this is what the Prince of Peace did. Surely, he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. That's what makes him the Prince of Peace. Our punishment, our oppression, our sin that was put on him, and it brought us peace. See, peace comes by the result of great power, by paying a great price. And praise God that that peace is always present. It wasn't a one-time thing. You know, me and Mindy went up to that waterfall. And see, if I want to see that waterfall and experience the peace and the power and presence of that rushing water, I have to go there again and go up there and climb out there and drive out there and keep going to that place. See, the peace of Christ is not just a one-time offering. It's a raging river of life that is within every believer. It's a raging presence, the Spirit of God that was within us. I've got peace like a river deep down in my soul. Deep down in my soul. The peace of Jesus is in us through the Spirit and is residing in our hearts. We see in Scripture that our bodies are a temple where the Lord has chosen to dwell. And we don't have to go to the falls. We don't have to go to a place that's a wellspring with us, but we have to be present to it. We have to dip from it. We have to drink from it. It's right in within us. But we have to drink it. And we have to, because when we don't, we have trouble. We're not at peace. We're anxious, we're worried, we're frustrated, we're out of sorts. And we need to be set right. And yet we seek and we go and say, if I only do this, if I only go out, if I go to that place, if I go to that beach, if I go to that place, if I do this thing. But no, it's right within us. I've got peace like a river deep down in my soul. Jesus said in John 14:27, when he's speaking about the promise and the coming of the Holy Spirit, he says, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. My peace, what is his peace? My peace of power. My peace to overcome. I have the peace that's overcome the world. My peace that's paid a great price. He says, peace, my peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. I don't give you as the world gives. I don't give you gifts that wear out, that break down, that come empty. Well, you use that gift and you're wanting more. No, I don't give you as the world gives. I give you a wellspring of life that's always flowing. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. All of that to get to our disciples that are on the road from Emmaus back to Jerusalem. In Luke 24, starting in verse 36, Jesus had just and met the disciples after the resurrection. They didn't know he was resurrected. Talking about the things that have happened. They didn't realize it was him till he took bread and he broke it. And then their eyes were open and they recognized it was him. And once these disciples that were with Jesus there in Emmaus realized it was him, they knew they were urgent. They knew there were others that needed to know about this. They knew that those that were urgent to know and to have their hearts set right. They rush back to Jerusalem. 7 miles they run back. And they tell those disciples, it is true. The Lord has risen. And they begin to tell them the story of all the things that had happened. How he walked with them on the road. How he talked with them. How they broke the bread. And he now here in Luke 24, verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking he was a ghost. He said, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your mind? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. See, the disciples that were back in Jerusalem, think about the position they were in before the other disciples come rushing in. They were in a place of mourning, of sorrow, of confusion, of doubt. They were in a place of anxiety and frustration and not knowing what to do next. And look at how Jesus comes into their presence. The other disciples are there explaining to them, we've seen him. He was with us. We saw him with our own eyes. We ate. We broke bread with him. And yet they still were in this state of confusion. And Jesus comes in. And what a wonderful entry. What a wonderful opening statement. And what a wonderful opening statement for any of us. If we were to walk into someone's life that's out of sorts, to say this. First and foremost, peace be with you. You know, in Hebrew, the word is shalom. In the Greek, it's eirene. Same word to say when they would enter into a place, would say, enter in saying shalom. And as they left, I wonder what happened in that time together, they would leave in shalom. Be at peace. Leave in peace. To have shalom. And so he comes in as they're in this place that's unrest and confusion and mourning, and he says, peace be with you. And of course, the disciples are frightened. I mean, dead people don't rise again. And it looks like him, and so they're thinking all the things that any of us would think. Of anybody that has passed in your life, if you were to see them again, you would have the same feelings of doubt and frustration. You'd think, I'm not seeing this right. This has got to be a ghost. It's got to be somebody else. It's exactly how they felt. And so they're frightened and they're confused. They're totally at unrest. And Jesus says, well, look at my hands. He already said peace. Now look at my hands. He showed them the scars. Show them the evidence. Show them the markings. It's really me. And that's what we have to have done for us too. If someone that we had loved had passed and come back, we're like, it's not you. And they say, well, let me show you the markings that only a few people know. Let me show you my birthmarks. Let me show you the scar that I had that I told you about. Remember that time? And you'd be recounting and touch me, feel me, and you'd be trying to make sense of that. And that's what Jesus does. He says, well, touch me. He says, touch my scars. So I had a moment like this I thought about, not like this, knowing that I had known that I died and rose again, but the Lord. But my father was in the military, in the Navy, and so he was gone a lot, out to sea for a lot of times or off to training. When he was out doing his he was trained to be, or getting his qualifications to become chief. Well, so he was gone for about a month or so. Well, during the time of him becoming chief, they also kind of put him through some silly initiations. And one of the things he had to do, because a lot of military is about, you know, submitting to authority and doing what you're told and living that way. My dad always has had a mustache. He still has a mustache. He has a beard a lot of time now, but even when he's not being Santa, he still has a mustache. And so my dad, and now it's a white mustache, but it always was a dark brown mustache. Well, part of his training or initiation to become chief, he told us about this. We didn't witness it, that he had to run around with half of a mustache. They made him shave off just half, and he had to do all his training and all that while, you know, getting mocked for having this, you know, horrible-looking mustache or half-stash, whatever you call it. Might want to start that. Might want to try that. Anybody want to start that trend, start a half-stash group? Some of you guys over there get that going on. Probably ain't going to turn out very well. But you never know. But so his training was done. My mom knew he was coming back. And so we're telling the kids, we're all excited, anticipating this time. Dad's coming home. Dad's coming home. And he's going to be home at 8 o'clock. And so we got everything ready. We're all excited. And, of course, my dad knocks on the door. And my mom's like, oh, it's Dad. Dad. He opened the door. That's not our dad. That's not him. He had shaved it all off. Because by the time he's cleaned it up, you know, nothing you can do at that point but start over. So he cleans off his mustache. And it was not him. It did not look like him. He's like, that's not our dad. And we ran to the back room, and he started coming in, and we started crying. Like, we were afraid. There's no way this could be him. That's not our dad. And he started talking and telling stories. And like, well, he tell us, what's my name? What's my birthday? We start quizzing him, you know. And finally he said, well, just come here and touch me. And eventually, but we still were kind of looking at him like, something's not right. Are you sure this is you? But it was. It was because we saw his hand, touched his hands and heard his voice. And began to give us some peace. Well, so here these disciples, they were startled, they're frightened. And he says, why are you troubled? And he says, look at my hands, look at my feet. But when he had said this in verse 40, he showed them his hands and feet. And now they're starting to build some excitement and some joy. You think, well, now that they've gotten there. But you ever been kind of out of your mind and out of sorts when having too much joy and excitement? You ever been a little emotionally compromised because you've been too excited? You kind of maybe have done some foolish things when you're kind of excited. You're kind of like doing things, right? I've had some of those experiences before where I'm not really thinking clearly. You know, in college, there was a time when me and some of my friends, we thought, let's be crazy. Let's have some fun. Let's go to the store and buy all the junk food we could ever try to find. And we didn't have much money, so it wasn't very much. But it was much lot to us. You know, ice cream and some donuts and some chips and some hot dogs and anything we could pile up. Let's eat as fast as we can. And let's run to the park and spin around and see if we can throw up. I mean, we're just being stupid. We're joy and excitement, but we're out of our minds, right? You're thinking, is there something else you bought at the store? No, there was no other extra additives in that buffet that we had. But we were out of our minds. We were irrational, and we were compromised. You ever, maybe not that crazy, but you ever been so excited and happy and just out of, kind of, you're just not thinking right. And still, it says these disciples did not believe because of amazement and joy. Now they're overthrilled and maybe thinking, maybe, I don't know, it seems right. It seems excited, but they're still not quite completely there. Not completely at peace and at rest. I like what Jesus says here. Someone's like, there's emotional roller coaster going on here, right? Went from mourning to shock to fear to joy. I mean, there's a roller coaster going on. And then he says, do you guys have anything to eat? I mean, kind of just took them through them. Now they're excited. They just touched them. Maybe they hugged them. Maybe someone kissed them. Maybe someone talked to them. And then he says, you have something to eat? It's something very common, right? But maybe it was the last little piece to say, I'm here. This is me. All the excitement over. Let's just get on to step one here. Let's eat something. And almost as if they could suddenly drop everything and go, yeah, get them a piece of fish. And going, wait, it's Jesus. Everything, that's what food does, you know. You have all this commotion, all this excitement. And you kind of break the excitement, maybe break the sorrow, break the confusion, break the joy by saying, hey, guys, let's eat. And everyone kind of calms down and gets that rest. Well, peace was present. Well, they were available now to be still and to rest in the presence of the Lord. Well, there is great power in peace. It takes great power for the Lord to overcome the grave. The price was heavy, and it was a great price that brought that peace. And that peace is present. I ask you this morning, what are the areas that you need peace? Do you have peace? Are you troubled? Are you sick? Do you have doubts, their trials or stresses, anxieties, fears, chaos, confusion? What takes faith to accept the truth that Jesus can give you peace? It takes faith to believe that He can heal, He can restore, He can forgive, He can set your life right. Well, you have to move. You have to seek the Lord. The good thing is, it's not very far. If you are a follower of Christ, that Spirit's already in you. If you're not a follower of the Lord, the Spirit is available, is ready for you to receive. By giving your life, by believing in God, giving your life to Christ, by participating in the gospel, by participating in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, by being baptized into Christ, by being buried with Him, saying, I'm dying to myself, I'm dying with you, I'm being raised to you, I have faith that as you raise, I am being raised, my sins are washed away. And I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to walk a new life with you, with that life spring of life, of water, of that Spirit living within me. And to continue to go back to that. You have to take hold of it. You have to drink of that river of life. You have to touch the hem of His garment. You have to say, for you have to hear Him say, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Where do you need the Prince of Peace in your life today? Where do you need the Prince of Peace to help overcome in your life? Who do you need to take the peace, Prince of Peace to today? Who are those that you know that are in a room like those 12 that are in mourning, that are in frustration, that are confused? And to go into those places and be a peacemaker and say, peace be with you. I've seen the Lord, and the Lord is here with me and is available to you. Whatever we can do this morning to help you walk into that peace, live into that peace, accept that peace, so that we can have the peace that passes all understanding. To have that peace that is like a river deep down in our souls, so we can live this life and live that good life with the Lord, of living in that peace and being ones that bring peace to others. Peace be with you. Come now as we stand and sing.